Welcome to episode 566 of the My 123 Cents podcast. It is another non-wrestling related show this week. Once a month, if you are new to this format, once a month I do a non-wrestling related podcast to kind of take a break from wrestling and talk a little bit more about life and things that have gone on. And I've started a series last month, the college years. And so I'm continuing on with part two. This is sophomore year. I went to Southeast Missouri State University. If you're watching, go Red Hawks. New shirt that I got from SEMO just the other day, actually. And back then, no, they were not the Red Hawks. They were still the Indians. And made that change, I think, in 2004, 2005. So, but I still live close to the campus, still live close to the area. Go visit every once in a while. And actually, the college that I work at here in Southern Illinois, some of the university leaders and representatives were over on our campus and had brought some swag. So I, of course, grabbed another SEMO shirt because you can't have too many of your alma mater representing. And so I want to just kind of pick up the story from 1992. This would have been the fall of 92. I, of course, started SEMO as a freshman in 1991. At the end of the spring semester in 92, I met my now wife. But, you know, at the time, we had just started dating at the end of the semester. It was like the last week of school. We dated throughout the summer and returned and continued to date. And, you know, that's kind of the, I feel like if I themed my college experiences out, my freshman year, I was still kind of in that identifying stage of trying to find not only myself, but find love, find a partner, find someone. I was not obviously looking for my wife, but I was looking for a girlfriend back in those days. And went out on a few dates, but then I met my wife and we were for each other. You know, we were happily ever after. And so dating and going into our sophomore year, momentum picked up and I started to realize that, you know, I was really considering this being our, you know, a lasting relationship. And this potentially could be, even at 19, and I know that sounds weird and thinking back, it probably was. But, you know, we had started talking about getting engaged and eventually getting married and figuring things out. And I don't think we took classes. No, because we would have registered for classes the semester before. So before we were dating, but we did start taking some classes together. I know that spring semester we did, and then that fall of 93, which I'll get to on part three of this, our junior year. But we had a lot of fun over the summer, and then of course go back to school, and you know, we continued to date. And honestly, there were times it was you know, ups and downs like any couple has, and a young couple. And but we had a lot of fun, and in fact, probably shouldn't tell this story, but I'm going to tell this story. It was Halloween. My wife was working at Chuck E. Cheese at the time, and she dressed up and I dressed up as a couple, but we were not together. We were going to meet at a party later that night. So she dressed up like an old man and I dressed up like an old woman. And I don't think we took any, this is, you know, 1992. So there's no cell phones, there are no smartphones and only cameras, you know, you had to go and develop film. And there is a picture of me with someone in the dorms at the time, but I don't think we took a picture of my wife. But anyway, Lisa had to work and I waited and to go to this party. Well, when she did this old man costume, she took I don't know what kind of glue it was, but she glued the beard to her face. Like she got the billowy, puffy stuff. And I think it was like the stuffing. I don't remember exactly. It might've been a beard. I don't remember exactly, but she adhered it to her face. So when she got home that night, we got home that night back to her dorm, we tried pulling this stuff off and it would not come off of her face. And so, and it's midnight, a little after midnight. So she's like, let's go into the shower area and see if we can get this. And it was completely innocent, 100% innocent. We were literally in there just trying to remove this sticky glue, whatever it was, in the beard from her face, and we could not get it to come off. And we're in there and we're laughing, you know, out loud at the situation and how ridiculous it was. And lo and behold, her RA, resident advisor, hears me laughing and says, "Kevin, is that you in there?" I can't remember if I did this or I thought about doing it, but I thought I said no and joking, because I, you know, we were having, you know, we thought it was funny. Well, she ends up getting written up, my wife did, Lisa, for having a guy in the showers, which I get was a violation, but it was after midnight. No one else was in there. So her floor voted and they actually kicked her off the floor. So she ended up getting moved. They moved her into the dorms that I was living in. I was living at that time, I was living in 8 South, on 8 South, which was a co-ed dorm, but it was not co-ed by floor. 7 South was the girls' floor. We had a very chill RA who was very laid back and relaxed. Never really saw much of him, heard from him. He was very chill. And floor 7 had no RA at all. So it was like a free-for-all. There were several guys on my floor that were dating girls on 7. So it was like party city all the time. And we got away with whatever. And there was no other trouble after that. But yeah, her dorm mates, and she actually had a rabbit in the dorm as well. And she got busted with that. And so actually, I don't think she had the rabbit quite yet. That's a story for another time. She eventually got a rabbit, though, and got caught with it. We had birds. That's what it was. We had finches in the dorm and got busted with the finches. And so we had to send them to my parents' house. And these finches actually ended up laying eggs and having more finches. So it turned into a whole little finch breeding operation as part of our college experience. Unintended, obviously, but funny nonetheless. And so we ended up having lots and lots of baby finches, which my parents donated to my grandma at the time was volunteering at the veterans home in St. Louis at Jefferson Barracks. And so we donated the cage and the birds. Actually, I think they kept the cage and the first couple, and then started donating the babies because they had one of those giant enclosed bird cages there at the veterans home. And so they were able to do that. Now, obviously, you know, I'm at school and there to learn and do things. We had moved, like I said, we moved out of the all guys dorm. My buddy Bob, who I met my freshman year on my floor, he and I paired up and became roommates. We did a loft that year. So our beds were up off the floor and it was just a whole different vibe and dynamic in the room. I talked about last time how freshman year, my buddy from high school, Jim, and I ended up being roommates late in the game and had to move to a smoking floor, which, again, made lots of great friends. Was not a big fan of the secondhand smoke. Now, looking back, even in hindsight, more so not a fan of that. But, again, made some friends, still friends with these folks on social media. So I as much as people complain about social media, and I say this all the time, the connections and being able to reconnect and reestablish old relationships and old friends has been, to me, a net positive, despite all of the other bullshit that goes along with social media and playing that game. But I always thought that was kind of neat. But met a new group of folks, some of them, again, who have become lifelong friends through Sigma Nu, the fraternity that I eventually joined, which that will also be a part of part 3's episode in this tale. But, you know, it was a different vibe. Again, you have that freshman year under your belt and you feel a little more established. You're a sophomore now and you're able to, you know, classes, the flow, the whole thing just felt more natural as we were going to classes and you know, doing things in my major, which again was mass communication, and was able to take some more classes in that major, building towards that and getting towards that. I was minoring in Spanish. I ended up, I believe that was my last semester, that freshman, that sophomore year of the fall was my last semester of taking Spanish, and I was able to get the minor because I had taken some classes in high school. So it was, you know, things were coming along, things were going well, and you're in that full college student mode and getting into the swing of things. And I can remember I took World Religions that semester, and it was at 8 a.m. And I overslept for, it was either the midterm or the final. I don't remember. I woke up and it was like 20 minutes past 8 o'clock, and I was in a panic. And I ran from Towers, if you're familiar with CMO at all, Towers, over to, oh God, I don't remember what building it was. It was over by the library though. And I ran the whole way, and I was like out of breath by the time I got to class. I asked my professor, can I please still take this final? And he said, did you talk to anyone on the way here? Because students had already finished up the final. I'm like, no, I didn't speak to anyone. I didn't see anyone. And he let me take the exam. I don't remember if it was the midterm or the final. And I ended up getting a B in that class. So I did all right in that class. But, you know, when you're in college, you take a variety of classes. And I know some people say that's a waste of time or a waste of money. And there's an argument to both sides of that. The idea is to give you some structure and teach you how to think critically and do things outside of what you're just going to be majoring in. And so I am appreciative of the opportunities of the classes and the things that I was able to do during my experiences at Southeast. And that World Religions class, that experience sticks out in my memory like a sore thumb. But again, you're moving along in your major, you're kind of pairing up with different groups of folks that you're going to be seeing all along the way. Now with mass communication, it kind of split off into different subcategories. And by this point, I still wasn't in my subcategory, which was going to be radio. And again, this is a story for down the road that I'll talk more about. But it was just, again, that establishment of things and moving forward. Now, I believe, actually, no, I did not. I did not rush my sophomore year. I don't think I rushed. I don't remember now. But in the spring semester, my brother transferred from Jefferson College, which was up where we grew up. He graduated high school in 92, so he transferred for that second semester of his freshman year to SEMO. He only ended up staying a semester. His girlfriend from high school ended up going to University of Missouri, so he ended up transferring there to be with her. But he was kind of traveling back and forth to see her. So he wasn't there a whole lot. And again, I was with my girlfriend, Lisa, who is now my wife. We'd hang out every once in a while, but he actually lived on our floor as well with, Jason Elway, who ended up becoming Jason Lee, who we called Elway, who became my roommate then my junior year. But yeah, it was kind of cool having my brother close by and getting to see him and hang out, do lunch and dinner sometimes and some of the extracurricular things that go on with college. Now, he actually did rush and was part of the Pi Kappa Alpha fraternity, but only briefly because, like I said, he ended up transferring and didn't initiate or anything like that. But yeah, we had fun. It was a good time. And then that spring semester of sophomore year, I actually got a job too. It was the spring of 93. I mentioned my wife working at Chuck E. Cheese. Well, I ended up getting a job there as well and did things with the cash register, worked in the kitchen, did everything, became a jack of all trades. And eventually my wife became assistant manager. And then when she left, I was hired in her place to take over as assistant manager. But yeah, wore the costume, cleaned out the ball pit, cleaned the ovens, cleaned the grease trap, worked on the video games, you know, fixing them, taking care of broken tickets. When we closed the place down after hours, that's things people ask a lot, you know, what was that like? So when, and this was back in the 90s, the early 90s. So we would clean that ball pit out. what we would have to do is you would fill these giant nets, the giant net bags, with the balls. And then you take all those, throw them in the back of a pickup truck, and go to the car wash. And then those all got cleaned with the sprayer at the car wash. It went through the whole process. And then the folks that stayed back cleaned the inside of the structure. It was kind of a vinyl, I guess, for lack of a better word, square pit that the balls went in, and there was netting and stuff. Wipe everything down with Lysol and sanitary wash, cleaned it out, and you would find all kinds of stuff, toys, Band-Aids, shoes, socks, clothing items that you would, it was, because kids would jump in there, and usually there was supposed to be an attendant, an employee that would either sit inside there or sit right outside to watch to make sure nobody got hurt. This was a very small, confined space, too. And then they had, the slides and the tubes that people would climb through, or kids would climb through. And so we'd go through in there and clean all that up, because, kids get in there and they poop, or poop in their pants, or pee, or puke, or whatever the case would be. We cleaned it quite often, but probably not as often as it should have been cleaned. But it was, Jim Cato, who was the general manager at that particular Chuck E. Cheese, was a very good manager and very, proficient at and meticulous with the cleanliness of the store and of the employees and just the whole overall experience for employees and the folks that were coming in there. There was a lot of college kids that worked there, but we had a handful of high school students and then some folks who were either out of the, not college age, I guess, that worked there as well. But, that was a fun experience that, years later, decades later now, I tell people that I worked there and they kind of chuckle and ask stories, because I did wear the costume and it prepared me to be costume character for other walks of life. When I did marketing in Murfreesboro, I wore the silkworm costume and I wore a costume for the Big Muddy Monster Brewfest. And then at Shawnee Community College, I have donned the Bernie costume as well. And they're just kind of that mascot etiquette is what I really learned at Chuck E. Cheese. And I know that sounds probably kind of weird that you learned something working at Chuck E. Cheese, but I did. And that was really only my second job. I worked at a grocery store in high school. And then eventually I would go back and I would work at the store too, but Chuck E. Cheese became my second job. And then later, and I'll probably save more of that for later too, I became a substitute teacher. But that was my first real experience working, or my only experience working in food service. And so that's a different experience with food prep and getting stuff ready and knowing what's right with, all of that stuff, keeping stuff moving on the line and changing stuff out, making the dough. We would make the dough pretty much from scratch. It was a mix, but you'd put it in this big pot it had a giant hook that would knead the dough, and then it'd come out of that and you'd have to shape it, weigh it, shape it, put an oil coat on it, and then put it in the refrigerator and let it prepare. I think they called it proofing. Usually overnight, but sometimes we didn't have that. If we had a big rush and weren't ready, we would have to sometimes make dough on the fly. And, but yeah, it was a really, it was a cool experience. And I'm fortunate that pretty much every job I've had has been one of those experiences where I'm like, wow, I learned something, I walked away with something. And maybe, in my 50s now, I look back and think that at the time, I think I thought it was pretty cool at the time too, because again, Chuck E. Cheese, we had gone there at the end of my freshman year, a big group of us had gone to play games and just kind of mess around. And it's funny that we ended up, Lisa and I ended up both working there, because I think she was part of that group that went to Chuck E. Cheese, but we ended up both working there. And then I had some other friends that came and worked there. And again, that social media connection where you stay in touch with these folks, through the years, as a result of that. So, that was a fun experience. I wasn't sure that I wanted to work while I was in college. I did go 3 semesters without working, you know, like during the school year. And I was getting pretty decent grades, and I'm not going to say that working hurt my grades at all, because I think there were other factors there that probably impacted my grades more so than working. But working part-time, you know, 3 or 4 days a week, a lot of weekends, you know, Saturday and Sundays. But yeah, it was a good experience. And I think that, again, those experiences have helped mold and shape the person you become later in life. And I know it may sound, you know, silly that working with a giant rat, selling pizza and video game coins to kids, but it really, it's an experience, and it's something that I'm grateful that I had. Trying to think of other things sophomore year, like nothing really, really terribly stands out to me as far as, it was a pretty basic year. Again, it was a fun year. It was the first year of having a girlfriend right there on campus, and we hung out a lot and spent a lot of time together as well. But I think that I kept focusing on the major, trying to narrow it down though, because there, you know, with mass communication, it was a wide range of things. In hindsight, knowing what I do now, as someone in marketing, I'm not going to say I wish that I would have done marketing. I wish I would have taken more marketing classes, because I did my junior year take a marketing class that I really enjoyed. But I think all of the experiences in your life lead up to these moments, and the TV part was 22 years of my life, and I wouldn't trade any of that away, despite having its ups and downs as well. But I loved it, and I loved the experience of being at SEMO and being a part of that and experiencing college life. And again, I'm so grateful and fortunate that I was able to go away to school and have that experience, because as I talked about in part one, I had considered staying at home the first 2 years, and I don't know if I would have ever really then moved on. Would I have met my wife? I wouldn't have met my wife here, you know, Lisa, that I met at SEMO, for obvious reasons, because she was there and I would have been at University of Missouri. So I'm grateful that life has led me to the path that it did, and that things fall into place and fall in line for a reason. And I really believe that. And I think that everyone's college experience is different. Everyone's life experiences, work experiences are different. But I'm positive and I'm happy about mine. And I am proud. When I say I am a proud SEMO alum, I 100% mean that. I'm happy to be working close to the area again and being able to go over the weekend. It was the big rivalry between SEMO and SIU, which I live in SIU country, but I always root for my Redhawks, and I would have loved to have gone to the game. We had other plans this weekend. Just got back from a trip to Michigan. If you haven't already, check out the Hunsberger Chronicles from a great spot in Michigan called Flat Rock Grill. Definitely check that out on YouTube and on TikTok. But we've gone back and seen the games. We've gone back and seen concerts and things at the Show Me Center. I've gone back and watched wrestling over there a few times. So it's always a very welcoming. One of my best buddies, Brian Hampton, is still over there, and we go over and see him. We'll go, and there's a couple breweries over there that we like to support and see and hang out with. So I love going to Cape and visiting and being over there and seeing my friends, and also just having some fun. And I'm hoping this fall or this winter, being able to do that. We do some fraternal reunions every once in a while over there. So I'll talk more about fraternity life in October, at part 3 of the college years. But if you have any questions in the meantime, fire away, let me know. Have a great rest of your week, and we will see you next time.